your finances on a higher power. Being good stewards of the financial resources God has bestowed upon each of us is the key to financial success in life. It's your finances on a higher power. Here's your host, Paula T. Webb.
Good afternoon, fellow traders. This is Dr. Paula coming to you from 1610 WBGS. It's a great place to be. As I mentioned last week, we have a very special guest here this evening, Larry Pesavento, author of numerous books on trading, coach to thousands and thousands of traders, and the host of Tiger TV Financial News with daily market commentary. So I'm going to pass this over to Larry because he's got some wonderful information to share with you. So how you doing, Larry?
Hanging in there, Paula.
All right, so let me pass this over to Larry, and we're going to get rocking and rolling. Hold on.
Okay. Bear with me just a second, folks. And okay, what I thought I would do, I've got quite a bit of experience in these markets, like 62 years, and I would like to share to you what I'm looking at in the economy at this time. The first thing I want to mention to you, you know, I've looked at these charts and economies and cycles for the last 62 years, as I mentioned. I've gone all the way back to when the country started in 1776. The stock market began giving us data around 1801. But the first major economic problem that we had was in 1937. Andrew Jackson was the president, and we were going through a great deal of turmoil. The market had collapsed. We were setting it near depression levels. In fact, we were at a depression in 1857. And the only reason we pulled out of it because of the Civil War in 1862. But in 1837, that was known as the crash of 37. Andrew Jackson was president. And then the market, and the reason why it crashed is that Andrew Jackson did not believe in the Bank of the United States. That was the equivalent of the Federal Reserve. It's called, I think it was called Bank One or something like that. It was called the Bank of the U.S., as I recall. And from 1937, the market rallied for 92 years into the high of F. Scott Fitzgerald did the thing with the Great Gatsby and all that. That was the Roaring Twenties. And remember now, in the Roaring Twenties, now stop and think, we went from 1837 to 1992. That was 92 years the market went up. And then in 1929, this was the beginning of the great, what we call the Roaring Twenties. At that time, now stop and think, folks. At that time, we had 2,200 automobiles companies at that time. 1974, we had three. Okay, we also had the telephone. We had the microphones. We had record players. We had color TV. We had movie theaters, movies coming out, and also in color movies. We were also having air travel was becoming very, very popular. And from that point, on September the 3rd, 1929, until the low that we made on July the 8th of 1932, the stock market dropped 97%. And the Dow was there at 90. Stop and think, folks. In July the 8th of 1929, the Dow Jones stood at 43, actually 42. And from there, yesterday on Friday, we had a high of 47,000. I mean, stop and think of the wealth that was, made during that time. That was 92-year cycle from 1937 up to 1929. Okay, now take your little pencils out and erasers, and I want you to write on the table there 1932, and I want you to add 92 years, which was the cycle we were looking at, and you come up with 2025, where we are right now. Now, what do we have right now? We've got everything. We've got telephones. I mean, everything you possibly want. Plus, we have a new thing in the thing called artificial intelligence. And that's been around actually for quite a while, but now it's getting the news. They just put $1 trillion, some of these companies, over the past few months into this artificial intelligence. And it is great and it's wonderful, just like the internet was. But boy, there can be a lot of problems that could possibly happen. So the way my theory runs, and if you'd like to see the charts on this, all you have to do is to text our host here at W1610, or you can ask for Paula Webb, and she'll get these charts out to you. You can look at the charts yourself. What I do is I look at the chart action of what happened during 1929 and what's happening now and see if there's similarities. Well, there's so many similarities that it's really, it's hard to explain. The problem is not many people go back that far to look and see where we are. I believe in patterns. I have a couple of degrees. None of that's important because I'm too old to remember that anyway. But because I've been doing this for 62 years, I'm in my 85th year, and I've been doing this for a very long time. And on long-term pictures like that, I might be early or I might be late, but I usually get them right. And this one here is very clear to me. So I base everything that I talk about in this on a paper or a book that was written in 1937 called Profits in the Stock Market by Harold McKinley Gartley, H.M. Gartley. And he was the leader of showing people what was happening in the stock market by looking at charts, pattern recognition. And all I do is I match these patterns to what happened in the past. And if I see a similarity, then I say, well, this is a really strong similarity of something happening. And we're having that happening right now. From 1937 to 1929 was 92 years. From 1932, you had 92 years, 2025. And look what's happening now. We got all kinds of things. I mean, you can't imagine. Look where we are just in the last 10 or 15 years with the iPhone, folks. I mean, when I was in high school, in fact, so many things happened during the 29s. It was electricity came available, air conditioning. That's why you had electricity and air conditioning. That allowed the building of the big building in New York, the skyscraper, I can't remember the name of the skyscraper. Anyway, I'm having a senior moment, folks. I'll remember it in just a second. But that started, and it's still that skyscraper. It wasn't a high rise. It was the Empire State Building, bozo. The Empire State Building was finished in 1932, right at the bottom of the market. It sat empty for many years. But anyway, it's still there, still working fine. And you can still go it. It's still got the same air conditioning. It's still got the same electricity, and it's staying working. And that was the largest building in the world for many, many years. And now it's just a fraction of what you see in other parts of the world. That's not important. It's just the fact that all this stuff has been going up for so very long. In fact, for 92 years. So now we're at a point where speculation has gotten to the point where people are over-speculated. We just passed this past week. Traders that have been buying stocks over the last 15 years, since 2009, they are now using $1 trillion in margin money, folks. $1 trillion in margin money. In other words, when the stock goes up, they have more money to buy, and so they keep buying. The problem lies is when the stock starts to go down, because then they have to sell the stock as it starts dropping in order to meet the margin calls. Well, when stocks go down, remember, folks, prices go down faster than prices go up. And why is that? Because fear is a greater emotion than greed. You can actually see fear, okay? You can't see greed. Greed is euphoria. Everything's wonderful. Oh, don't care what happens. Everything's great. But with fear, you see physiological things in the eyes of the investors and traders. You see bulging eyes, sweating hands, you know, diaphoresis, hot palpitation of the heart, rapid heartbeats, your mouth becomes dry and chalky. All that tells you that that's fear, and there's none of that in the market now. It's all about euphoria, higher and higher and higher. But unfortunately, because this is not a look-and-see type program, you'd have to see these charts if you'd like to. All you have to do is contact Paula T. Webb, and I'll be sure that she gets the file of everything that I look at. And I'm looking at all foreign markets. I'm going across the globe. I went to the Philippines. I went to Japan. I went to Germany. I went everywhere, to India, to see what their chart patterns are all showing the same thing, which is a giant chart of euphoria. And it should be coming to the fruition of the end of this sometime in October. Remember, in 1929, the market bottomed on September the 3rd. And here we are on October 3rd. In 2018, the market topped on October the 3rd, and the market went straight down I mean, straight down, 30% drop into the December 25th low of 2018, and that was known as the Christmas Massacre in 1918. So we got a lot of stuff going as we're looking at this. The principle that I'm trying to tell you comes from actually MIT, Dr. Andrew Low, who is in charge of financial engineering at MIT. What he does is he hires or trains these young mathematicians and stuff to come to the market and use their skills with market math to discourage people to buy or encourage people to buy based on these numbers. That's what I try to do. I'm doing right now is trying to encourage you to sell. And it's not an easy task, folks, because as prices go higher and higher, people say, oh, I want more and I want more. But what you want to be thinking of as a real astute investor is to stop and think, how much money can I make versus how much money can I lose? And that's the whole key of what we're trying to do here. Now, I have a great deal of experience. I've been blessed. You know, I'm 85 years old. I've been doing this for 62 years, or maybe even a little bit longer. My first trade was 1959, and I've trained well over 1,000 traders in the past 44 years or so. And so they know what I'm doing. But that's why I'm trying to tell people, this is where the time you want to be getting out of the market, not into the market. The same thing is true of the gold market. Gold has gone from $232 an ounce in 2001. Here we are 24 years later, and we're trading at $39,010 an ounce. That's a tremendous increase. So be careful with your gold investments as you're watching that right now. If you'd like to hear more of what I do a radio show from 1 o'clock to 2 o'clock, Monday through Friday at www.tfnn. That's Tiger Financial News Network. It's run by the esteemed engineer by the name of Al Christopher. He's world famous. He's known in just about every country in the world, and he's a stand-up guy, and he's a real professional. So these are the things you've got working for you. But if you want to see this program, we'll continue it after the break. You want to contact Paula Webb, and she'll get you hooked up to what we're watching. So watch your portfolio, especially coming this week, because we're ready to start down Sunday night, Monday. We should be down all next week, and we'll see if we're correct at this particular point. So stay tuned. We've got a few commercials to make, and Al will set us up with the commercials, and then we'll come back and do the remaining part of my presentation in just a few minutes. So stay tuned.
Okay, this is Dr. Paula, and we're back here in the studio live with Larry P., one of my best friends on the planet, and one of the best experts in market commentary that I've known forever. And you guys really need to tune into him. I just wanted to say thanks for bringing up that historical data, Larry, because that's what my new book, The Sacred Path of the Sacred Warrior, is going to be all about. So this really ties into what you're saying. So anyway, I just wanted to interject that, folks, and I'm going to give it back over to Larry, and we'll be back. I'll be back when he's through with his segment. Okay? It's all yours, Larry.
Okay, folks, so back to talking to you about what the stock market is doing now, because this is not, I'm not able to show the charts. What you're going to have to be able to do is to ask Paula for a copy of the charts. There's about 20 of them. It goes back to 1915. That's when the stock market bottomed, and from 1915, it went up for 14 years to 1929. This year, the market recently, the stock market bottomed in 2009, and you add 15 to that, it takes you up to 2024. So you can see that there's a lot of similarities between these cycles as they go from low to high. But to see them on the physical chart that was done, you know, back in 1937, it gives you an idea of the similarities to what's going on. What's so similar is, and back in 29, we had so many wonderful things that were happening. I mentioned to you electricity, plumbing. I was a senior in high school before we had indoor plumbing there in Indiana where I lived. And so that we had electricity, but we had a telephone, but it was a party line. There were nine families that shared one phone number. The phone number was Harrison 6500. I still remember that. And so now everybody has a telephone with a recorder. They're actually a movie producer with the telephones that they have these days. That's just the difference between then and now. We've made great effort and stuff, but we have great things happening. And folks, let me explain something really important here. Sure, the market's going to come down a lot. The reason why I'm bringing this to your attention is when it comes down, whether it's 2 years, 3 years or something, and things look really bad, it looks like it's never going to go up, that's when you want to buy. Because the easiest thing in the world to do is inflate something to a very high price, and people will buy it all the way down. One of the greatest speculators of the 1920s, 30s, and 40s was a man named Bernard Baruch. He was a financier, much like Elon Musk these days. And his best friend was J.P. Morgan, who was one of the richest men in the world, along with John Rockefeller. And what his name, Mr. Well, J.P. Morgan really believed in what, you know, Mr. Hold on, I'm losing just a second here, of what Bernard Baruch was doing. But he followed what he did because he was so accurate at what he did. And Baruch's favorite quote in his book, My Own Story, which is the biography of his whole life, he says in the book, he said, the greatest scam in the world is the stock market. Because what we do is we inflate prices to a very high level and we get suckers to buy it all the way down. In one of his interviews in his book, it was with Fanny Bryce, who was the Marilyn Monroe of the 20s and 30s. And she sat down with Mr. Baruch and said, how do I make money in the stock market? He said, you buy low and you sell high. And she said to him, how do I do that? He said, Miss Bryce, he said, you have 40 years and I'll be able to teach you. So that's what's going on. So Bernard Baruch's idea was, as prices get at a certain level, people will buy it all the way down. In 1929, the market was at 383. Okay, now, at that point, there were new buildings being built everywhere. And on the Chicago River, there was a building being built called the Merchandise Mart. It was 1 million square feet of space, okay? And the problem was they couldn't get anybody to fill it because businesses were dropping. And into 1932, it kept going down and down. In 1932, a man that you're familiar with, you've heard of John F. Kennedy? Well, his father, Joseph Kennedy, bought the Merchandise Mart in 1933 for $1 million. Now, that's $1 million, okay, folks, in 1932. They sold it, okay, are you ready for this? 44 years later, they sold it for $400 million, okay, but what they don't tell you is, for those 44 years, they collected $1 million a month, every month, for 44 years in rent, and that building is still there. It's still the largest commercial building in the world, the Merchandise Mart on Chicago River in Chicago, Illinois. And so now I'm just telling you, you want to buy when you're low and sell when they're high. It's much better to sell when you want to than to sell when you have to. So be very careful. We're at high levels in the stock market, much like we've never seen, never in the history of the world. I mean, history of ARC from 1776. The market has never been this stretched, ever. And not only that, it's showing signs of a massive distribution, because if you look at the difference between the Dow Jones and the S&P 500, and the Russell and the NASDAQ, all of these indices are not acting the same. It's only about 50 stocks that are related to artificial intelligence that is doing all of this. So 50 or 60 stocks are making the market do this, much like what happened in 29. What was happening in 29? Auto stocks, electricity, television, microphones, you know, all that stuff was going on. The rest of the world was forgetting about what was really happening underneath. People didn't have any money, and they didn't have any to buy it with. Now we've got interest rates at a, you know, relatively high level compared to what they were back in those days. But this is what we have to be concerned about. It's not how much money you make. It's how much money you can lose. And at this level, if you're long stocks, I don't care what it's artificial intelligence or NVIDIA or whatever it happens to be, you can lose a lot of money. My theory is, if this is correct, if the Dow Jones goes below 46,000 right now, or 47,000, that's 1,000 points, you do not want to be long stocks. That's just a 5% drop from where we are now. And if that happens, that's telling us, uh-oh, something is really wrong. All of this is available to you in chart form. You can be able to see what's happening. I tell you about how people have been borrowing money and how extended it is, $1 trillion in margin debt. It shows the relationships from all the bull markets from 1970 all the way through to where we are right now. It shows 1970, it shows 1980, it shows 1990, it shows 1997, it shows 2000. 2000 was the dot-com bubble. Stocks dropped 83% from 2000 down to 2009 in 9 years. And then there was a great buying opportunity. In 2009, we've been going up. Are you believing this, folks? We've gone up 26 years without a major correction. And people have made fortunes. But boy, if they don't get out somewhere, and maybe I'm wrong. And if the Dow hits 48,000, I'm certainly wrong. But right now, it looks like it's ready to go a great deal lower. Okay, now I've been doing this a long time. I have a lot of degrees. That doesn't mean I'm smart. It just means that I wrote some books. But I've studied it, and people follow what I do. And I must be doing something right, because I've been doing this for 62 years. I have 5 licenses. I'm a member of the Security and Exchange Commission, member of New York Stock Exchange, the National Futures Association, and I have 4 licenses for operating a hedge fund and running an office for selling stocks and commodities. And I've never had a complaint in all those years. And the reason why is I've always worried about how much money people can lose as opposed to how much money someone can make. And that's the real key to investing, folks. When you buy something, you got to think, how much money can I make versus how much money I can lose? Okay. When I went to work for Drexel Burnham Lambert back in 1976, I sat down with the president of the firm, and he said, we've got a wonderful company here. He said, we're accustomed to making money. We're accustomed to losing money. The one thing that we're not accustomed to doing is losing all our money. And if you lose 25% of our customers' money, you're going to have to get another job. I never had that happen. And I stayed there for 6 years and had wonderful years where I made a great deal of money for my customers. We were buying gold at $120. We were buying silver at $3.50. And we rode it all the way up to $800 and some into January of 1980. So I do have some experience. I'm pretty confident of what I'm looking at right here. And like I mentioned, if you do want some information, you contact Paula T. Webb and she'll get in touch with you. And she'll give you some ideas of how to look at these charts. And if you have any questions, you could actually reach me. I'll give you my phone number. My phone number is 520-241-5793. And I'll be happy to answer questions. I answer my own calls. I work for the most ruthless boss, the most ruthless corporation in the world. I work for myself. I haven't signed the check on the back for 47 years. My checks, I sign on the front, and I make what I make by buying and selling. And I sell a few books, but the amount of book income is not really very much. But anyway, you got some folks here on this radio station that really care about you. And if you listen to some of these programs, you're going to get some really good ideas. So I would expect you to do that. In parting, I'd like to say, quote from my good friend Tony Robbins, live every day in an attitude of gratitude and may God bless, because we're only on this world for a short period of time. So do your best to help other people, because when you meet the final maker up there, he's going to ask you about how well you did. So we'll see you soon. Paula T. will be right back with you, and may God bless.
Paula T. Webb will be back with us in a moment. It's Your Finances on a Higher Power.
Okay, folks. Well, thank you to Larry P. for being in the house with us this evening. And we've had a great couple days together. And we're trying to convince him to move over here and be closer to us so we can do more shows together and trade together and do some workshops. So thanks again, Larry. Okay. All right. So a couple of things that I wanted to mention was... last week, I know I mentioned about the identity theft that happened to me. And one of the things we have to keep in mind, which I touched on last week, is that a lot of what we have learned or know before we became traders unfortunately ends up becoming obsolete. And we, again, we touched on this last week. So I thought I did everything possible to keep my data safe, which, you know, I'm pretty fussy about that. But apparently what happened was not due to anything that I did. U.S. Bank no longer runs credit checks. So that's why I never got any alerts on my credit report, because I have my credit reports frozen for this very reason. So I bring this up because I did everything right, and I still couldn't figure out how this happened. And over the last 9 days, I have been talking to U.S. Bank incessantly. I'll be honest with you. I'm really on their backs about this. And what I found was that they have no protocols. Every customer service, every fraud prevention person I talked to had a different story. I went into the bank, and even just three different bankers had different stories. So they're just completely incompetent. And I don't care who hears this, because they are. And the fact that they said, oh, no, we've blocked that account from any activity moving forward until we finish our investigation, but they refused to send that to me in writing. So in essence, that does not exist. So I'm bringing this up because it's no different. It's no different than when you trade and you follow all your rules and you have a drawdown. All right. So you can go back and you can say, oh my gosh, you know, I did my analysis. I have a good edge. I followed my, you know, my risk ratio, you know, all this kind of stuff. Everything that you have in place, that's your trading regimen, and you still have a drawdown. So if it still happens, then you have to understand this is simply market movement. And what happened to me in terms of the identity theft is just simply current world and political events. I mean, look, guys, we all know that there's goofballs out there that, shall we say, are less than stellar. Okay, I'll be honest with you. They're criminals, all right? And they prey on people that they think they can take advantage of. Now, whether that's a crypto account or now this AI stuff, or even just the old-fashioned identity theft, it exists. And we have to be prepared for that. And we can be prepared for that, and we can be prepared to trade every day with our rules and everything that we have in place, or analysis, and think we got a handle on it, and we can still lose money. So the bigger picture here is, and the reason that I'm reiterating this is that there's no reason to beat yourself up. If you have followed your rules, if you have done everything you set out to do in terms of your goals and your plans with your trading, and you still have a drawdown, then it's just market movement. It's just current events. And you have to understand that that is out of your control. But that doesn't mean you did anything wrong. And, you know, a lot of you guys call me up and say, well, I don't understand this. Well, you don't understand it because you don't understand the true nature of trading. The true nature of trading is that you can do everything right. You can do it perfectly. You could have the best trading system on the planet and follow it faithfully and still have a drawdown, because there's millions and millions of other traders out there that have a different opinion about market direction than you. And they're going to make the market move in directions and in ways that you had no idea. Okay? So it's not your fault, as long as you follow all your rules. Now, you know, I had a friend, you know, who was giving me some slack about, well, you must not have protected your identity. Well, yeah, I did. All right. So the propensity for negative self-talk is big. So we have to be careful about that. All right. So one of the ways you can be careful about that is you need to buy my new trading journal. This is an updated version of the trading journal that Mark and I created years ago that we used to give to our workshop attendees. And it's reflective of today's markets and today's traders, and it's going to be available in about a week or so. And it's just called the Disciplined Trader Daily Trading Journal. And it'll be on Amazon. It's in paperback form. And what we will provide for you in that is you're going to get the definition of what it means to be self-reflective to achieve your trading goals. And you're going to have pages for, you know, listing your trades, of course, keeping track of your trades. So, journal pages for you to write down what you're thinking before, during, and after your trading. Another section where you're going to keep track of what you did well and what you may need to work on. And then there's a recap and other really good information. So you got to keep this in mind. So the reason that Larry brought up a lot of this historical data, that really falls into play as well with my new book coming out, The Sacred Path of the Warrior Trader, because I'm going to provide you a lot of that historical data in that book, which a lot of you younger traders don't believe is necessary. But you're misinformed in that area, because if you don't know historical data about how the markets were formed, what were the major players were, what kind of fraud has been inflicted on our industry just even recently, then you don't have a really good foundation of understanding how the markets work and how they move and how they grow and how they have drawdowns and all that kind of stuff. As Larry said, we've had, you know, a couple decades of, you know, the markets not having a major drawdown. Now, I'm not like him. I'm not saying that we're going to have a major drawdown, but there is room for a correction here. So we have to be extra careful. All right. So just bear that in mind. All right. I just wanted to share that with you because, you know, Larry and I go way back. We go back with, you know, he met, you know, Mark Douglas before he met me, and we ended up becoming really good friends. And Larry, Mark, and I were the first ones in our industry to provide the first workshops that included live trading with a full 100% money-back guarantee. That if at the end of the workshop, if we didn't make money trading, everybody who was attending got 100% of their tuition back. Now, those workshops were $5,000 at the time, which back in the 90s was a lot of money. And we were hosting these for, you know, anywhere from 25 to 50 people. Now, that may not seem like a lot of people to you, but you got to remember that we had a lot of information for about trading psychology to, you know, impart. And we gave traders a lot of room, a lot of latitude to ask a lot of questions before we went into the live trading. So, you know, nobody ever got a refund, primarily because they ended up with the correct mindset, and Mark and Larry provided the trading methodology that they needed, and they followed it. So, you know, we are the real deal here, folks. You know, we've been around the bend. You may choose to be with the newest and brightest and slickest websites on the internet, but the bottom line is, this is where it's at, because we're empirically proven, and we have a lifetime of information to pass this along to you. So, you know, just keep that in mind. All right. So moving along, what we're going to do is, you know, a lot of people ask about what self-mastery is. And I want to kind of share that with you before we go into the next segment. Self-mastery is understanding who you are. Self-mastery is understanding what you need to do as a trader to achieve your profit-taking goals. And you can't do that if you don't know who you are, if you don't know what you believe, if you don't know what you think. So, you know, the Disciplined Trader Trading Journal is going to help you do that, because you are going to read each page, read each segment for you to come to terms with what you think, what you believe. And this is nothing new. You know this already. You know, a lot of you folks out there are you know, devotees of our materials, or especially, you know, the pirated videos of Mark Douglas. And you know, on a, you know, just another comment on that, you know, we found 8 other videos of our workshops that have been re-edited with AI, and it is not our material, and it is not Mark talking. So please be careful out there, folks. Okay, please just you know, you gotta just really be careful, and you have to understand that everything out there is not authentic. All right. So, just be careful. All right. So self-mastery is really understanding, again, as I said, who you are. And the way you do that is you have to understand that all of our thoughts are interpreted by ourselves. All right. So you might be thinking, okay, what do you mean by self-mastery as a trading tool for taking profit? Self-mastery is authoritative mental energy, meaning you have to control the mental energy in your mind. There are many ways that we already manage our mental energy, meaning, you know, things that have happened to us, but we need to make the decision to not, you know, expand on that. So anyway, let's get back to that after the break, and we'll be right back. Okay, so what I was talking about before the break is just because we may want to change something, that doesn't mean that it's going to automatically happen, especially if we've added a lot of negative energy into something we believe. All right? So our very thoughts can add energy to a memory, or they can detract energy from that memory, depending on what kind of thoughts we choose to think. As Mark Douglas always said, there isn't a thought inside my brain that I don't allow to be there. Now, I've said this repeatedly, and I get emails from you folks, and you're like, well, what does that mean? Well, it's real simple. You choose what you think. Nobody makes you choose what you think, right? We're all adults here. We're all traders. So, you know, if stopping the way you think in terms of limiting your ability to take trading profits becomes difficult, then use the trading journal. It doesn't have to necessarily be mine, but it should be some sort of trading journal where you're keeping track of your thoughts and your energy about where you want your trading to go. Now, I'm going to kind of digress a little bit, you know, here, because this is also kind of related to trading. So, I mean, for instance, I mean, I'm going to talk a little bit about Charlie Kirk. And there was a time in America when political violence provoked universal horror and condemnation. And now, all of a sudden, it seems to be very blasé. I mean, for instance, in 1981, when President Reagan was shot, his surgeon got on the media and he said, "Today, Mr. President, we are all Republicans." Now, I'm not making a political statement here, but all I'm saying is that he was trying to bring together the entire country to say, stop hating a Republican. The man got shot. Okay? So, recently, there was an article in the New York Post, and the author, Jonathan Alpert, he commented that he was in a Manhattan store recently, and he overheard a customer discussing the news about Charlie Kirk's murder. And this customer said, well, he was evil, and I don't think he could have been shot by anyone more evil. And then the cashier at the store said, yeah, Trump will get worse now. Now, the reason that Jonathan Alpert was writing this article was he was, it's my word, he was in shock, apparently, based on what I'm reading in the article. He said their tone was so casual, as if they were talking about the weather. And both of those people that he overheard seemed to accept that violence can be excused if it targets the, quote, right enemy. And that's really dangerous. Now, the reason that I bring this up is not about Charlie Kirk, although he obviously was murdered and needlessly and violently, and it's awful. But it's the same approach we, you know, a lot of traders have with their trading. Their enemy is the markets, and they want to battle against the markets because they think the markets are against them. And that's completely ridiculous, because markets don't care if you win or lose. The markets are just the markets. They're made up of millions of people who have different opinions about market direction. And so for any trader to target the markets and revenge trade is supercilious, and it's absolutely ridiculous, because you're only going to harm yourself financially. But the reason that I bring in up this article by Jonathan Alpert in the New York Post is because if any trader is subscribing to this blasé attitude about violence is okay if it's against something you think is going to harm you, then you are not going to be able to stay focused on your trading goals, because that's going to seep into your perspective on everything, especially making money as a trader. So, you know, and this mindset is not unique to just one side. I mean, once anybody decides that something or some entity or some group is evil, then any violence they may want to inflict begins to feel justified in their minds. So to those of you out there that are revenge trading, you have to stop and think, what is it that you're so angry about? What is it that you're truly attacking? What is it that you truly dislike intensely? And it isn't the markets. And only you know the answers to that. Although, you know, I've worked with many of you out there, and we came to the root cause of why you're so angry. And, you know, the bottom line is, folks, you need to be aware of who you are. You need, getting back to this point, you need to be aware of what you think. You need to understand why you're so angry. And, you know, it doesn't matter what the reason is, but just get to the reason, and we can work it out then. Okay? You know, I provide life coaching for traders and their spouses. I provide regular coaching for traders. And we get to the root cause. And it doesn't have to be anything heavy duty. It could be something very simple as, hey, I had a teacher that called me stupid, as in my case. It could be, oh, you know, a family member said you'll never amount to anything. And you know what I'm talking about. You don't have to be angry. You don't have to hate. What you have to do is say, okay, that was then, this is now, that's not who I am. I am a successful trader, and I'm going to achieve my financial goals. That's it. It's that simple, folks. All right, so anyway, thanks again, Larry, for being here. And we'll have him on again soon. And this is Paula T. signing off this week. PaulaTWeb.com, 760-636-4290. And feel free to contact me with any questions or comments. And I wish for you a great, profitable trading week ahead. Take care.
Paula T. Webb, co-author of The Disciplined Trader, The Complete Trader, and several other all-time best-selling, award-winning books, including Trading in the Zone, books that set the bar on trading psychology. You can find her classic books on Amazon and on her website, www.paulatweb.com.